The satisfaction of finishing your pedal board for the 38th time.
Hey y'all, we love bringing you content, so go ahead and subscribe and we'll keep you up to date on everything.
We promise.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, what's
good
up,
to see you, man.
Good to see you.
So, congratulations.
Thanks, man. Means a lot coming from you.
Oh, man. It's funny. So, Bonamassa was just backstage. He came by to wish you well and congratulate you. And he had to go do something, but he caught your side.
Sure, yeah, he's a busy man. Yeah. It was really nice of him to do that, man. Joe has been a friend of mine since I was about 16 years old, and the whole concept of going on tour and sowing the seeds by playing the live show,
right?
Really, that whole narrative came from him,
right?
In my life.
Totally showed you can do it.
Yeah, man. He gave me the permission to believe that.
Yeah.
So it was so nice. He gave me a call the other day and said he would come by, but we were sound checking, so I couldn't say hi to him.
Yeah, you were deep in it.
Yeah.
But what he said to me, he goes, yeah, it's so cool, man. He's just moved from that side over to this side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big move.
Well, you know, he started out busking on the street down there in a little Roland microcube.
When you were a child.
Yeah, 14.
Yeah, I remember seeing you just as...
I know. That's
just as kid.
We've been friends for years. And Chris and Perry. And,
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. Well, hey, tell me about this guitar. I've never seen you play anything but a Telecaster, but this is something newish to you. Tell me about it.
Yeah, Dan Neefsey makes these guitars all the way up in Connecticut, and DGN guitars. And he primarily, before he and I collaborated, worked on really fantastic, ornate, fully hollow guitars.
Oh, okay.
Somewhat Languedoc style. And he also did Les Paul style guitars and Strat style. And he had never really done a Tele style guitar. And I have this old...
Yeah, that old warhorse.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, this is like, like Mongolian warhorse.
Yeah. Yeah, high mileage on
this
thing.
This is a 63 custom shop. And... it has everything that a great traditional Telecaster needs.
Yeah.
But the thing about a traditional Telecaster is when it comes time for a four-piece band to sell out the Ryman, the single coil pickups, they kind of get monotonous after about 45 minutes. And so you need a dynamic.
Sure.
You know, so you could be like Bonamassa and get a couple bursts in Blackguards
and Ashtees. Yeah, just a matter of time.
Just a matter. But I wanted to do it all in one guitar because I like playing one guitar at night. I really love coming to a show and seeing folks switch out guitars. Yeah. But when I'm playing, I like just one.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we kind of took everything that I have loved and that I've played in electrics and we tried to put it into this one guitar. And it's an eighth of an inch smaller.
Oh, cool.
Than a standard Tele body. It has this really nice, what do you call that? A feminine curve to it.
Sure, yeah. I think it's an apt description, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
It just sits well.
Yeah, sure.
A couple other things too, is we have a compound radius going on this.
Oh, cool.
So you can do the Luther Perkins, you know.
Right.
But then you could also just do the... like, and really easily, you know. And PAF style pickups that tap, that coil tap into overwound single coil pickups.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then really gorgeous, beautiful middle pickup here that's at about a 9K output.
Oh, wow.
So it's really... just has such a nice acoustic resonance to it, and that's probably not the right diction, but and then the coil taps are here. And another thing too is Fender when they were making Telecasters, and as they still do, when they do a humbucker style, it doesn't ever get seated in a steel saddle, which is quintessential to the traditional Tele
style. Sure, yeah, that's part of the deal.
It's a huge part of it. And our producer, Vance, who's here with us today, fortunately, we tested it out one time under microphones, and there is a sound. There is a quantifiable difference between a pickup that is seated in saddle and one that is seated in steel as opposed to one that isn't. So Dan found this bridge that is a three saddle, a traditional Tele bridge, but fitted out for a humbucker.
Oh, cool.
Really cool. And then also to compensate for that, we have what I call the mega saddle back here. And so the strings are also touching steel as well.
Oh, cool.
Which does give it a nice bright tone.
Sure.
Yep, and then this gorgeous bird's eye flame neck.
Yeah, it looks three-dimensional, man.
At least.
That's great.
Some nights I look at it. Some nights it turns into seven.
Yeah, right.
So this is the Epoch, and the signature symbol is here on the fifth fret.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and so this is the DGN Epoch, and it's something Dan Neefsey and I put together, and he makes everything. He makes the pickup covers. He makes the pickups. He finds the wood.
Wow.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Well, that guitar is so you, man.
Yeah.
I love that you're doing your own thing with your own weird guitar.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
Just like you.
Yeah, all right, right. Yeah, keep it weird. Yeah, that's great. So you pretty much spend the whole night on that, and your old Warhorse is just in case.
Yeah, just in case. I got to pop a string, but I play really light. And that's something I've learned when I was playing down on Broadway, down at Roberts and other places, and all the, like Danny Muhammad and James Mitchell and all those fantastic players, Jeff Garris and J.D. Simo and Guthrie Trapp, and they all, aside from J.D., they played relatively light.
Yeah, J.D. leans into it pretty hard.
Oh, man, yeah, he does.
Everybody else, light, you're right, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and so I don't know, I think that was just part of, I do notice that the longer we are into a tour, the harder I will play.
Yeah.
So I try to really be mindful of that before we go and play. Just like we're speaking right now, the dialogue that we're having is—it's not heavy. There's an average amount of breath happening, and it's just flowing.
Yeah.
And there's this whole thing that happens when you get on stage, where I don't know. I think it happens unconsciously, where you're like, the lights are on, and they physically and materially on, but spiritually, what I think is the most effective is if I'm playing guitar in my living room, it should feel the same or somewhat close to on stage, because that's when you can tap in.
That's
try to play light. Yeah,
right. So. To get right there. Yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I get it.
Oh yeah.
I do. Well, that's great. That's great. So what strings are you using? What picks? Tell me all those bits.
Totally. I use Dunlop picks. I use these Daniel Donato Jazz 3s, the DD3s.
But very popular.
Very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1.35 millimeter. Yeah. And then I use Ernie Ball. I'll go through different ones. I'll use the standard Slinkies, 10 to 52. I'll go through the Cobalt ones. The more we tour, the more I like Slinkies and change them more, as opposed to like run them, get something that is coated and run it for a week or so.
Yeah.
I really like the fresh string sound.
Oh, sure.
Which is antithetical to Danny Gatton.
Yeah, right.
My rig, I just have so much more going on these days than just plugging a Tele into a blackface.
Yeah.
Even though it's not wired that way, it's an illusion. Because I have this 66 Pro Reverb with Weber F-150s.
And those are the 212s, right? Instead of
correct.
The 15, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh yeah, I love the 15 though.
Yeah.
There's Steve Kimmock had this amazing Brown Face Pro he was playing out of the other day. We were doing a gig together. And it was a 15, man. And the sound that the air carries in a 15 really is singular to that setup. It's cool, I'm getting one soon. This next week.
Oh, really? I'll
probably run both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know.
Yes, you should.
Yes, I should.
Yeah. More is more, Daniel.
I think
yes,
so. Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you need more. You don't always need more. But when you
this
do.
This is a loud band. Your drummer's just slamming. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's part of the experience. Sounds great.
Oh man, that's the deal. And we do a lot of country tunes and vocal heavy story songs where we don't get as loud, but the Cosmic Country does need to be reflective of our collective personalities, which is something I've always wanted to have in a band. And me personally, subjectively, I can be very intense and very loud, especially when I'm really not here, but here. And so we get loud.
Yeah.
And it gets fun.
Yeah, love it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, that's just so cool.
So I saw Vance Powell's here. So are you guys recording this show or? Oh, good for you,
yeah.
man.
All yeah, right, we're going to put this out. And
yeah, cool.
On all the streaming platforms in the cosmos, make a record out of it. And then we're going to go next door to Roberts and record a record there too tonight.
Oh, really?
And
tonight as well?
Yeah. It's never been done.
Yeah, all right.
And it will never happen again.
About time. All right. Good. So two albums, one night.
Yeah, and tonight's the album release party for Horizon. So it's a trinity.
Okay, perfect. Well, other than that.
Dude, thanks.
And then two albums in one night at a album release party. So you guys in this band, these are the guys that cut the record, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how cool. I love that.
Yeah, man, you can hear that.
Yeah.
I love the Radio Country records where it's, you know, Derek Wells on guitar.
Sure.
Or Saul Phil Cox, you know. Amazing. And that has its own sound. But Cosmic Country, it has to be the guys that are on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bronco on drums and Mustang on bass and Sugar Leg on guitar and keys. And everyone sings and has a band, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great, man. Okay, well, we covered the amp.
Mm-hmm.
We covered the Wonder guitar and the backup.
Yeah.
Tell me about what you got on the floor right here.
Yeah, so as I preluded to this, this is wired to function for our live show. So in order to really show you all the tones, I'm gonna have to make some noise and change some things around.
Yeah, no worries, that's part of the fun.
Yeah, man. So where I'm set up right now is you wanna ignore these four.
Okay.
Right now, and then this.
Okay.
Okay. And so, because those four and that wah are my dry sound.
Okay.
And the way I look at it, is we live in a fantastic time where there is technology that authentically can access tonality that is otherwise really difficult to access, i.e. Bonamassa's collection or something.
Yeah, right.
And I like embracing technology. My dad has worked in technology since I can remember, and that was always something he taught me, is to keep an eye on what's new in the hardware and software world and see how it can advance your expression moving forward. And I found this Fender Tonemaster Pro, and to me it seemed like the best thing ever to like season a steak with, not to really make it the steak.
Sure.
You know, because then you get like tofu, which is gross.
Yeah.
So that's the steak.
Yeah.
And that all it needs is compression and reverb and overdrive, you know, a little bit of a wah. And then everything else on the Cosmic side of things, that goes into the Tonemaster Pro, which goes into a really fantastic DI made by Radial. It's called the Highline, and it's designed for these IR modeling, profiling, whatever these things are.
Yeah.
And so it goes into the house at a very hyper clean and crisp level. And I can run everything wet into that, and it runs stereo into the house.
Wow.
So, and then you get like the traditional Roy Buchanan, Danny Gatton thing just hitting you right down the middle.
Yeah.
And so right now, before we started this rundown, I wired it to, or I patched it rather, so it's not going out of the house, so we can't hear it's coming out of the amp right now.
Oh, cool.
But here at the Ryman Auditorium later when Cosmic Country's playing, you won't actually be able to hear any of the wet effects if you were on stage, unless you had your ears in, because it's coming just out of the house.
So are you wearing ears?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Jerry Harvey's.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, before we dive into all this, I do have to say that XTS, Exact Tone Solutions, did this board and is the best.
They're great.
Literally the best.
Yeah.
Really fantastic, nerdy, detail-oriented professionals, just like myself.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing that we run into with our wet signal here is the Cosmic Country Phaser.
Oh, cool.
By Keeley Electronics.
Yeah, cool. It's all right.
Yep. What's cool about this one is it does a two-stage phase. So you can actually barely hear it. So that's it off.
Great.
Just a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty much stays on all night.
Oh, really?
Pretty much, brother.
You know, once it's on, it's kind of hard to turn off. It's so big and lush.
Yeah.
You kind of miss it if it's not there.
I know, it does. It does like almost a, something like the Strymon Deco might do. It does do a stereo-ish affect.
Sure.
It's cool. It's really great for a Telecaster, you know? And Waylon and Ralph Mooney were using those old Maestro, you know, box units, right?
Yeah, just had
the presets.
Sure.
But I like to set it to that. It's very, very, very subtle. Then we go into the rotary, which is really nuts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, love it.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it does, like, I love Trey.
Sure.
Love Trey.
Yeah.
And so Robert Keeley texted me, and he sent me a screenshot that he had with him and Trey texting, and Trey said he loved this rotary. And so I had, Robert was kind enough to send me one. I tried it out, and it was, like, the first rotary I really connected with. Because the way that they produce this piece is it's very sensitive to the touch of the player. Where if you play out of an actual Leslie cabinet, you can feel that phenomenon happening. And a lot of the time when you get into other rotary pedals, it sounds like a rotary, but it doesn't feel like anything.
Sure.
And that's really important to have live, is that feels, because you can connect to your dynamic. This thing's righteous, though. That goes into this really righteous pedal, the Freakout. I'll turn on some overdrive, you know. See, is that even working? Oh, yeah. I'll have to show you later. But it sustains.
So it just holds it as long as you are stepping on it. That note's going to ring.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, the guy's at Exact. I was trying to figure out how to get my amp to sustain like that. And the black faces just don't really do that because of the way that the EQ is set up. You know, you would need something that's more sophisticated than just like a 3-band. You know, or just like on this, it's 2.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to really do that. So that's kind of what's going on with that. And I just use it to literally to sustain the one note, and it has this brilliant function on it where as long as you're holding it, it'll sustain. And then when you're done with it, it does its job and goes away and shuts up. It's awesome.
Perfect.
Yep. And then here, you know, the old Strymon timeline, everyone knows these. I like to use it for a number of things, like this dotted 8. So I'm doing that.
That's great.
Yeah.
And the phaser makes it so much more fun.
Dude.
Yeah.
And all of that comes from, that I think it's Grady Martin or Pete Wade who's playing on May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose by Jimmy Dickens.
Right, yeah.
And they were using an old Echoplex to get that sound, and then Albert Lee did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but now it's on the Strymon.
Yeah, way easier. Yeah.
And there's a lot of great cosmic presets on this that I literally go through. I'll go through 4 in one song. You know, this is nice.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It sounds very stereo, and it's all coming out of that just mono amp. Wow.
Yeah, and that's just to simulate this situation.
Yeah.
Normally, it is a true stereo.
Wow.
Live, you know, when it goes through the PA and in the ears. So then we run into this Eventide H90, and there's a fantastic expression pedal set up here. And there's just a number of, you know, when we play and we get into when we get to the part of the improvisation that is supposed to set the scene and not really create much action yet, but just set the frame. Think of like a movie scene with just nature and no characters yet. That's how I think about it. Is the way I like to do that is I like to pretend that I am the sky, the sun, the clouds, the wind, and our rhythm section is the terrain. And Sugar can do both very well. He can be terrain and clouds because he's an absolute, literally a genius.
Hey everybody, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So, as many of you know, D'Addario has been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, and there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
So I like to use a lot of like Krungbin style reverbs that are really psychedelic and almost ominous. And this, the user interface on this H90 is so fun because when we get home from tour, I can just go on my laptop and dial in everything I want about these programs. Oh, this one, yeah. You know, and here's the thing, is like right now, isolated, these seem very niche. But when you take tones like that and you use them to season a traditional tone, then the context becomes really obvious.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's like, I'm so inspired by with this rig right now. Yep, and then this, I love this. So this is the Game Changer Audio Plus.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You know,
yeah,
so I can kind of simulate the sirens and the angels entering into the room.
Yeah, I could hear them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the deal with that. Like all the wet sounds, and it's all wet, really. You know, because nothing is purely clean. Even the blackface amps are not purely clean.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's the deal. But let me change this up to show you what's just very traditional and simple about this rig. It's going to make a little bit of noise.
No problem.
Yep.
That amp's been through worse. It's had a few pops, I bet.
Dude, you know. I mean, that was the amp. That is the amp. That was the first Fender Blackface amp I ever bought.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah. God, they're unbreakable, right?
They're pro. Really a pro.
Yeah, it is really a pro.
Yeah. And the guy I bought it from really had no idea what it was. You know?
Cool.
He thought it was just a, he thought it was like a 80s Fender.
Yeah.
You know, solid state, like evil twin, like red knob kind
sure,
of a
yeah.
thing. So I think he sold it to me for something ridiculously cheap. I think it was like $600, $700.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's here.
Yeah.
But I've played, you know, I've literally played over 10,000 hours through that amp. Okay, so going through this is a very specific thing. that I've always had in my mind when I'm playing guitar is there needs to be a couple reverbs happening, because when you listen to, you know, say Hendrix, not a lot of reverb, but when you listen to Don Rich or Danny Gatton play, there's a lot of reverb, you know, yeah. Roy Buchanan or something. So this Walrus R1 is really fantastic because at any given time, I could have a verse reverb. When I'm singing, I could have a solo reverb. Or I could do something that takes us into something that imbues another dimension in the song itself, you know. Really different.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And so in any given song, I'll use two or three reverbs.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a cool deal. And that stays on. Reverb is always on. Best compressor that I've played in recent years, aside from the Keeley compressor and the Wampler Ego compressor, those are just righteous.
Yeah, they're great.
This is really cool, though. And I basically use it the way Jerry Reed would use compression, which when he recorded his electric, he would plug direct into the board.
Wow.
In the studio.
Wild.
And, yeah, man. Sometimes you talk about serial compression.
Yeah.
There are tracks where he's using four different compressors.
Wow.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It just has this amazing country sound.
Yeah.
It feels like it's coming up your spine almost.
Wow. Like on Amos Moses, is that?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, direct in.
God.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Great tone, man.
Yeah. Well, you know. It's like that old Chet Atkins story, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, how does it sound now?
Yeah,
puts the guitar down?
Yeah, right.
But this is, I look at it like, you know, singing lower volume guitar compression.
That's great.
Yeah.
It really wakes it up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does. I don't think that amp sleeps much. but, you know, the deal really is if you just drive, if you just add horsepower to a Blackface amp, it sounds like America.
Yeah.
You know?
yeah, it does.
So that's really, like, a lot of the time, this is what people are hearing most of the time is a really cranked 1176, and then on this side I use an LA-2A, but you can even hear that classic buzz. It's so nice. You know, like And then the Noble Screamer, another Keeley pedal that I love.
Oh, great. Isn't that the best?
It's cool.
Yeah, love that pedal.
Overdrives are tricky.
Yeah.
You know, they really
are. It's the hardest one.
It really is the hardest.
Yeah, it's the most light. If your rig sounds kind of not right, it's usually the overdrive, right?
I know. Yeah. I really, to be honest, I've never owned an overdrive pedal that I have said that will be on my board forever.
Yeah.
And I really want to. So if anyone has any ideas, leave a comment. I love the Noble Screamer and I love the Lightspeed, and they have been on my board the longest. I've had the Noble Screamer out since before it was even sold, and I've had the Lightspeed for 3 or 4 years now. But it's hard, man. It's just the way I hear things is I love the tones that I love are like that when it's just really an amp that's overdriven. Like Bonamassa's tone or Trey Anastasio.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really love the Marshall overdrive sound because of that speaker cable. It's split into 13 coils if you open it, or the cable that's on the soldering inside, whatever that is called. In the Fender cable, if you were to cut it open, the Blackface cable, it would be a three, imagine, like, if I were to cut this cable, but imagine that's inside. If I were to cut that open inside of a Fender, there would just be three splits. On the Marshall, there's, I think, 13.
Huh.
Very interesting. So it creates different overtones that are like far more pinchy to the ear. It's hard to get overdrive to sound right. That is like the one thing that I'm very unsure of with this rig.
I thought it sounded killer.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Well, you're serious. I was out front. It sounded great.
Oh, good. Okay.
Whatever you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, you're a very clean player by nature.
I am.
You don't really lean towards it. You don't really need the dirt. You know.
I don't need the dirt.
You don't need the dirt. Yeah.
But I want it sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Basically, I have two compressors going into this one box, and I like to run overdrive / distortion the same way. Now, in guitar player world, everyone makes a differentiation between overdrive and distortion, which is rightfully so within our community. But technically, anything that's an alteration to the signal is a distortion.
Sure.
So these are distortions, but they're not. With that, I'll just run the compressor at a low volume with it. Forgot to tell you too, this guitar is completely hollow aside from a small wood block.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, it's a cool deal. Yeah. You can kind of simulate a nice natural feedback more with this than you can with a traditional solid block of Telecaster.
Yeah.
And then this light speed, really, that's such a sophisticated circuit. I know it's a simple design from Nick Greer, but it really is one of those overdrive pedals that just has its own identity. You know, I don't know if you like those at all, but...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they're cool. Like, they're very sensitive. You know, it feels like it's almost like it's a separate amp that's happening. I love this thing. Very light, I have it set.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Yeah, that's great.
Very
subtle, but yeah, that's great.
And sometimes run both of them. And then the custom audio electronics wah, courtesy of Brian Kehoe. He turned me on to that.
Nice.
Really great wah. It's nice because it has a gain.
Oh, yeah, cool.
You know.
I love that whole kind of percussive thing you were doing with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like to turn into a clavinet sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. That whole rhythmic deal was so cool.
Man, especially when you turn on like the ominous reverb.
And I loved it when you just hear your drummer play, and it was like a drumline thing. I mean, it was really him.
Oh, the old Nick Cannon special.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's Bronco. Great.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. I think that's really most of it, aside from this Tone Master, which is basically, I have a Blackface Twin Reverb that is the program. That's like the main palette in there. And I use this primarily to just boost the wet side of my signal using a Boss EQ7 graphic.
Yeah.
Graphic EQ, rather. And that just makes everything that's hardware on the board louder.
Yeah.
aside from a couple other things like a tape echo, see, this Fender Telecaster Pro is really righteous.
I like how that display is so easy, and you can it looks like gear.
Yeah. Right, brother. Yeah, it's not terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look like C++.
Oh, right.
You know, it's
Yeah.
I really like that. And the updates they have are usually very subtle, which is nice because they're not going to go and change anything that you're used to. And I think there's somewhat of an open source thing going where I can go online and I can take patches that other people have made. Really cool. And it's like the amount of detail is ridiculous. Like I can change the amount of age that's on my tape echo.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Yeah, like, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's some deep level nerddom right there.
Dude, like someone would have got burned at the stake 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Scotty Moore would not approve.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I like it. And that's pretty much all I use it for, is to have a very, very clean, fantastic palette that goes into the house stereo. And then I can take all these other beautiful products and just have them run through something that's not messing up my steak.
Yeah.
It's just like a chimichurri seasoning over everything.
Yeah, that's a great, it keeps the integrity of that Pro.
Yep.
And then gives you everything else. Yeah, that's great.
And that's the country thing. There's nothing more country than a Telecaster through a black.
Oh, exactly.
But I need more than that.
Yeah.
So that's where all this came in.
Well, and with this band, man, you're covering so much sonic territory.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, man. It's like we work for Expedia.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah, right. Well, and so congrats on the album.
Thank
you,
John.
And,
Horizons.
And you're out. You guys are out hitting it hard. It seems like you're just gone, right?
Yeah, we're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the bus. You're just not coming back.
Yeah, we got our bus. We got the snowman. And man, we're always playing. But that's part of the music that we play, is that, the word live music, that's really a prefix for living music.
Yeah, right.
At least the way I look at it.
Oh man, I love that. Yeah.
And so, we play all the time.
Yeah.
And it's always changing, just like humans do.
Yeah.
Just like a day does. And that's why our set list is different every night. And we play differently every night. If we're tired, then, we sometimes play with maybe perhaps more fervor because we're, a little bit pissed off or something.
Yeah. Sure.
Or in a night like tonight, there's going to be so much outpouring of gratitude and acknowledgement of all the gigs that got us here. And that's what's so pure, at least in our aim with this band, is that it really needs to replicate what life should be. So that's why I say it's living. Yeah, man. I think that's... Oh, I forgot to mention the hum debugger.
What is that mystery thing right there?
Well, it doesn't work on B flat.
Okay.
Which is the strange thing about this. And Daniel Murphy at Electroharmonics can attest. And it basically just kills my hum, which is good. It needs to be killed.
Yeah.
That's it.
There we go.
Yeah. You need it.
It just finds that one frequency, takes it out, and doesn't really touch anything else.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Simple pedal. It's on and off, and I have dozens of those in our...
Do you ever turn it off?
No, it stays on.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a Tele, And when I told, so in this guitar, there are pickups that Seymour Duncan made for me one day. He said he had a dream or something. And then
that's great.
And sent me these beautiful pickups, and they're just one of one pickups. These have an amazing sound, but they really sound like an old Tele, which has its problems. They're very noisy.
Sure.
But you need that. It's a price that's should be paid.
Yeah.
And so that's what these are when they tap into single coils. And so just to fix that, we just kill the hum and take it out behind the barn and shoot it. That's good. Right on stage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel, hey, man, it is such a pleasure hearing you play.
Yeah, you too.
Love that you guys are taking over the world.
Oh, man.
They're coming to a city near you.
Yeah. I think we're actually creating our own world.
Yeah, even better.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to going to that world.
I appreciate you coming, and Chris and Perry.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, I, you know, You know.
Hey, we're fans.
Yeah,
man.
Well, we've been friends for over a decade now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so cool to do this. And I remember last time we did this, I was with the Wild Feathers.
Yeah.
Sitting in for one song that night. It was on this stage. And I remember talking to you guys saying, you know, one day we're going to sell this place out. And now we're here doing this.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, the first of many missions. Yeah. Right, right, right. Well, hey, y'all. Till next time.
The reason we only stock D'Addario strings is because D'Addario strings are perfect.
When people come in here, they think that we get them for free or something like that, but we don't. We have no other reason except for dependability and tone.